Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Covering the team for Cleveland.com, Dan Lobby, and Dan joins us now. What's going on?
Hey, how are you doing, Jake?
We're doing good, Dan. Dan, I got to ask you before we get into the Browns, are you going to be watching Happy Gilmore 2?
You know what? I haven't decided yet. I loved Happy Gilmore, but I don't know. I'm worried that if I watch Happy Gilmore 2, it's like, is it going to ruin 1? Is it not going to be as good? So I haven't decided yet. This is like a very important decision in my life, and I haven't made it.
Dan, I love that you're here because I'm in the exact same spot. I have no clue if I should watch this. Like, we're 30 years removed. The first Happy Gilmore came out before I was born, for crying out loud, but it's a movie of my childhood. I love it. But like 30 years later, I mean, typically I feel like comedy sequels 30 years in the future, it feels difficult. It feels difficult to nail.
Yeah, it just makes me, I guess I'm scared. I'll admit it right here on the radio. I'm scared to watch Happy Gilmore 2.
We're all terrified, Dan. If you make your decision, let me know. I'll let you know if I make mine.
Yeah, right.
A decision I'd love to know is if the Browns are actually going to decide if they have their starting quarterback. I don't know that any of them looked all that great today, Dan. What did you see?
Yeah, it's been pretty rough. You know, the ball has been on the ground a lot, and this feels a little bit like some of the older days in Browns training camps, going back to when they were trying to figure out this quarterback position. So, you know, I guess the one thing everyone can hang their hat on is it's still early, so maybe things will get a little bit crisper. But yeah, it's been a little bit uninspiring to watch all four of these quarterbacks here over these first, you know, 3 days of camp. We're going to day 4 on Saturday. We'll see if it gets any better when they come out of the off day. But I guess I wish I felt better about one of these guys at this point.
How much do you think that the 4 quarterback competition for week 1 here plays into, right, all of these guys coming out with a little bit of a slower start, knowing that they're taking a little bit, you know, less of reps than they would if one or even two of the guys is going for the job?
Yeah, I mean, they're all saying the right things about it. They're all saying that they're just focused on doing their job. They're focused on each other, but it's got to affect them a little bit. And one of the flaws of this whole setup of doing 4 quarterbacks is exactly what you got to, or exactly what you just said, the reps. You just don't really have enough reps to go around. And so, you know, you had Shedeur Sanders the other day throwing to equipment guys, and you've got to get Joe Flacco reps. You've got to get Kenny Pickett reps. I just don't know how you ultimately develop these guys. I think this team would be best served to kind of pare this thing down as best as possible over the next week or so, so that they can really give like 2, maybe 3 guys some really quality reps.
You mentioned the equipment guys things with Shedeur. We also saw all of Kenny, Joe, and Dylan get reps with the first team today. Does it feel like Shador's almost cut out of the competition, at least for week 1 right now?
You know, I think they're kind of slow playing things with the Shedeur a little bit, and he did get some reps with the 2s, which was a step forward for him. That's not something that we've seen, 11-on-11 reps with the second team. I don't know if there's going to come a point where they give him first team reps, but I think it's pretty clear early on they're just not in a rush with Shedeur Sanders. And I do think we've reached a point where if he were the starter week 1, it would be a shock just based on what we've seen, because he'd be getting more first-team reps, or we'd at least get a look at him with first-team reps. Now, the caveat is there is an off-day Sunday. Kevin Stefanski has said he's going to reassess things and maybe shift some things around. But as of right now, it's hard for me to see Shedeur really winning this job in week 1.
Dan, I obviously either you or I, none of us are our quarterback coaches or head coaches in the NFL. But do you see anything different with Shador that he feels like he's clearly behind the other three guys when watching him?
You know, when I have seen things that have looked bad, it's been some of the things you saw in college that caused him problems. I always felt like he didn't always deal with pressure well. Now, obviously, look, he didn't have a run game. He didn't have a great offensive line, so that was part of it. But I felt like he didn't always deal with pressure well. I felt like his feet weren't great. You know, look, when things were clean, when he could make some plays, he could make some quality throws. But I think the reality with Shador Sanders is I don't know if we're going to get real answers for him until we see him in a situation where he can actually get hit, where he can actually face real pressure. And I don't know when we're going to see that. So to me, that's sort of how things are with Shador Sanders. He will make throws where it's like, wow, that was a really great throw. But it's all the other stuff. How's he going to deal with pressure? Is he going to start turning the football over? Is he going to take a bunch of sacks? And I don't know if we have answers to those questions yet.
Now, Dan, I've talked to your colleague in Lance Reisland. Mary Kay has been on the station. Both of them lined up and said the exact same thing of where they thought that the benchmark was, where you have to kind of decide a starter, being that same the Eagles joint practice preseason game. You should probably have it figured out by then. Do you agree with them? Are you in the same benchmark, or does it vary a little bit for you?
I do agree. Now, do they have to have a definitive, this is the starter? Maybe they don't have to have that answer. But I think when we go to those practices in Philly, we're going to have a really good idea of where everything stands, because you're going to have your number one going against Philly's number one. You're going to have your number two going against Philly's number twos. Maybe you mix that up, but you're not going to have time to put four quarterbacks out there against the defending world champions. Nobody's going to benefit from that in joint practices. So I think by the time we get to Philly, if nothing else, we're going to have some real clarity about who's number one, who's number two. Does Dylan Gabriel, let's say, have a shot to maybe be the number two quarterback? I think that's what we're going to get answers on. Will we have a starter when we come out of that week? Maybe not. But I think we'll have a lot of clarity on how this is going to play out.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us here on the Fan Hotline. Dan, last one on the quarterbacks, just because you mentioned Dylan Gabriel being the two. Would you, I don't want to say rule him out, but is it more of a long shot for him in your eyes to be a starter in week one than it is for guys like Joe and guys like Kenny?
Yeah, I just think with both of these rookies, it's really hard to see them being the starter week one unless they really build some momentum over the rest of camp. And we have a lot of days left. I think we still got over 40 days left till the start of the season. So there is time for them to build that momentum. But with both of these rookies, I would be surprised if one of them was the starter. This feels very much like the two veterans are competing. And then maybe Dylan Gabriel has a chance to make himself the number two quarterback. But I think it would take a lot for him to play his way into that number one role.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We also got news earlier this morning. Linebacker Jordan Hicks is opting to retire this season instead of play it out with the team. I guess, like, I didn't really think about the linebacker room as one that I had a ton of depth concerns with. With Jordan retiring, you now look at the room. Is depth a concern there?
I think it is. And I think, honestly, it was to begin with, obviously, when you lost JOK for the season. Now, that was maybe expected. But when that became official, obviously that created some depth problems. I just think the issue is you're putting a lot on Carson Schlesinger's plate. And this is a guy who was a former walk-on. He didn't play a ton of college football. You know, he really kind of hit his last season at UCLA. They really like him. I did think that was a good pick to start off the second round. But you're putting a lot on his plate. So is he going to hold up in that position for 17 games? Jerome Baker is here. We talked to him today. You know, that's a nice addition, a nice veteran addition. He kind of joked that he's the old guy in that room now. But that is a room that can get very thin very quickly if guys get hurt. And again, with a guy like Schlesinger, it's hard for some of these rookies. Is he going to be able to play 60, 70 snaps for 17 weeks? I think that's a room. You know, you look at wide receiver, you look at edge rusher. There are some areas where this team can get thin very fast, and I think linebacker is on that list.
Kevin Stefanski talked about it, giving him sort of the green dot as the leader of the defense. How much of a heavy role is that for a rookie to step into, not just learning a new defense with Jim Schwartz, but then also stepping in to call it on top of it?
You know, it's a big role, but I think on the defensive side, it's obviously just not as difficult as it is for the quarterback, who is the green dot on the offensive side. I think on the defensive side, a lot of it is just getting those signals, making sure that everybody's lined up correctly. It's kind of the role of the middle linebacker. I believe Schlesinger was that guy at UCLA, too. So he's got a little bit of experience with that. I think it is a lot to put on a rookie's plate, but I also think just on that defensive side, maybe sometimes we can make a little bit too much of it. I do think it's something that a rookie can handle as long as he's putting in the time off the field. And, you know, I don't think we have to worry about that with Schlesinger.
We also saw Cedric Tillman today go down with an injury for a period of time, and then he was back up onto his feet but walked out of practice with medical staff. I mean, I don't know if you got a clear shot at it, but did it feel as if, though, it was concerning, or does it feel more as if it was precautionary, at least from the early onset with no information additionally there?
You know, it's hard to know, and I didn't see the injury, and I actually didn't see him walk off, so I don't know a lot about it. I know they called it a lower leg injury. They didn't have an update on it. So, again, when we talked about linebacker, right, getting thin, wide receiver is one of those areas where maybe they've got a lot of bodies there, but how many guys do they have who are NFL quality players that could step in and be a number two, be a number three? I think that's a position that gets really thin really fast as well. And honestly, even with Cedric Tillman as your number two, there were questions about whether he could hold up physically, whether he could actually be the number two receiver behind Jerry Jeudy. So there were questions at that position to begin with. Now, maybe you've lost Tillman for a little bit. We'll see kind of what happens. Michael Woods is dealing with a hand injury. A lot of DeAndre Carter at these practices. We're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing a lot of Jamari Thrash. So that doesn't really instill confidence in where things are with this receiver room right now.
I guess speaking to Kevin Stefanski's offenses in years past, obviously not talking about last year, but we're running the typical Kevin Stefanski scheme. Is wide receiver an area where you almost feel comfortable if it's a place that you're going to be thin, knowing that there's only a couple wide receivers on the on the field at one time? Or is that still an area that's a lot of concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're concerned about it because you do need receivers. You do need bodies out there. But I do think because you have David Njoku, because you invested in Harold Fannin, you do have an opportunity to maybe cover for some of those receiver gaps, right? So you can get away with two receivers. But you also want those two receivers to be really talented, right? So if you can have Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman, that's different than having Jerry Jeudy and, let's say, Caden Davis or DeAndre Carter or someone like that. So I think you can get away with it, and I think you can cover it. But there does come a point where that number two receiver has to be somebody you can really trust to be out there and be out there a lot.
We were talking about earlier on the show, and Dan Lobby with this here on the Fan Hotline, we were talking about earlier in the show just training camp with the pads off and how a training camp in general sort of lends itself to the defense being successful in a way. Do you feel it that same way, that the defense is bound to be successful and that offensive struggles are more sort of pertinent in training camp? Or is this more the offense just being bad and the defense looking good because of it?
You know, I would actually say I've always felt like training camp favors the offense in a lot of ways because there isn't tackling. And because there is limited contact. So Myles Garrett can certainly wreck a play, but Myles Garrett can't hit the quarterback. It's hard to get a feel for running plays because you can't tackle guys. But because of that, you can have some running plays that maybe look better than they were. So I actually think it's more concerning if the offense looks like it's struggling, because I think the defense is at some disadvantages, because defensively, you want to be physical. You want to hit. You want to be able to tackle. So I've always kind of felt like the offense – we shouldn't see the ball hitting the ground this much. We should see more success from the offense in a setting, especially when there's no pads.
Hey, we're getting pads on Monday. How much does this change, I guess, from an offensive side when you put those on?
Well, I think we'll see more of the run game, which is good. I'd like to see what that looks like. Now, again, that's an area where there's a lot of questions, right? Quinshon Judkins, currently not in camp as he's going through his legal issue. Jerome Ford. We did see him working out today after walkthrough, so that was a good sign, but he's still not back in practice. So, again, another position where they're getting really thin already is running back. But I think that's what I'm always most interested in when the pads come on. How does that run game look? And that's going to be so important for this football team to be able to run the football, to establish that ability to run the football, get that play action going. So that's kind of what I'm most excited about when the pads go on.
All right, Dan, big picture question. Browns, across many sports books, set at 5.5 wins. Would you be more comfortable taking the over or the under for this team?
5.5 is such a tough number. I wish it were like 6.5. Because if it were 6.5, I'd probably feel comfortable taking the under. 5.5 is, you know, the thing is, I think this is a football team that, again, if they can establish the run game, if they can play really good defense, I think they can steal some wins early in the season, right? I mean, Cincinnati just signed Shamar Stewart today. Trey Hendrickson is still in his holdout. That's a team that has a little bit of unrest on the defensive side, and they weren't very good on that side to begin with, you know, coming into this year. So could you beat the Bengals week one? Maybe. Could you steal another win before you go to London? Maybe you could do that. So that's kind of how you get to that over. I guess if you were going to make me make a pick, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of going on the under right now. We're starting to see some injuries pile up. There's some uncertainty. There's not a quarterback yet. The offense hasn't looked great. It's hard for me to really pound the table and say, you've got to take that over.
You point to the first few games of the season before you head to London. I know that first six-game stretch is one that we've talked about heavily because you play three-fourths of the NFC North. You play three in-division games in the AFC North. And it's the toughest part of the schedule by far. Is that something that, as we talked more and more about it, we've sort of overblown how difficult it is? Or do you think it is as tough as we say?
I don't think we've overblown it. But I do think it's important to remember that sometimes in September, you can sneak up on teams in the NFL. You know, the new training camp rules have kind of made it where, you know, and especially as teams have not played guys in the preseason as often, it's kind of made it where sometimes you can sneak up on a team early in the season. Sometimes teams are still sort of almost in preseason mode when you get to September. I mean, I keep pointing to Cincinnati, but that's a team that starts slow every single season, and now they've got to come to Cleveland. Again, if your defense is ready to go, we've seen them have success against that team, maybe you can win that game. You know, is Green Bay going to be in their final form when they come to Cleveland? I think that game is week three, right? So, you know, can you steal a couple of games early when you're healthy, when some other teams maybe aren't ready to match your physicality? I think that's the formula. Eventually your depth is going to get exposed, but if they can sort of, even though that's the toughest part of the schedule, if some of those teams aren't quite where they need to be yet, I still feel like maybe you can steal one or two.
Dan, as always, appreciate you setting aside the time. Good stuff, and look forward to talking to you when the pads are eventually on and we can see these guys hit each other just a little bit.
Yep, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.